And you realize Frosty the Snowman doesn't have any pants on. He's just hanging around little kids. No pants.
David, whatever we're starting the show.
In the world. Oh, wait. Okay.
Let me welcome. Know welcome to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Bracket Rundown show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, up here in the center. Joined this evening by a big panel here of Hoops HD colleagues. We've got Joby Fortson. We got John Stalica. There's a puppet. And we've got John Titel.
David.
What? David? Who?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm David. See my name right there.
This is our Bracket Rundown show. And what we're going to do tonight, same format we've used most of the season so far, is build what's called a seed list on the air. A seed list is a list of the 1 through 68. We're going to build at least the 1 through 50, the at-large portion of it on the air. But the list that is then taken by the selection committee and bracket it up.
Yes.
David, we're not going to quite do it the same way the selection
committee does. No, essentially the selection committee selects the teams first, generally speaking, and then ranks them 1 through 68 and then brackets them. That would take about 24 hours. We've opted to not do that and just kind of not do – well, what we're doing isn't really at all what the committee does, but at least our evaluations of the team should be similar to how the committee does it. We are not trying to guess the committee. John Titel, who's with us tonight, every Sunday he puts out a bracket that does try and guess what the committee will do. That's not what we're concerned about here. This is just what we think it should be. And again, the format, well, tell them about the format, but essentially we're going to argue, we're going to yell, we're going to throw each other around. It should be fun. But why is Chad arbitrating again?
Well, because we didn't really plan things out very well, and so I just arbitrated by default here. But this is what we're going to be building tonight. We're going to fill in at least the top 12 seed lines there. Just a few terms we may use. The term protected seed basically means the top 4 seed lines, the top 16 teams. The term first ballot team means more or less the top 8 seed lines, teams that may be the favored teams in the first round. And if we get a few other terms out there, we'll try to find them as we go along. So I'll try to jump in and make sure we get terms defined.
Bubble means you're close.
Yes.
To be either in or out.
Yep. And being Nebraska means you are not under consideration.
Oh, Nebraska is on my board. Well, they beat Iowa, beat Iowa State, who's one of the best teams in the Big 12. So Nebraska, well, I don't know how it's going to play out. You can't fully forecast these things, but I would
All right, let's get moving here. We got a lot to get through. What I'm going to do is call on each one of you in turn to give me 4 teams, and then we're going to kind of throw it open for a little bit of debate. I'll make any final decisions whether or not we're going to keep those 4 or make any changes, and then we'll move on to the next line. And Mr. Titel, being that you filled in for me last week as the arbitrator, I'm going to give you the honor of taking the 1 line.
Thank you, fellow arbitrator. So I have about 10 or 11 locks who are in the field in terms of if the teams lose out the rest of the way they're in. So obviously for the 1 seed, I need 4 locks. When you sweep Virginia, you're a lock. So put Duke in there. When your only losses are 2, Duke, you get in. So put Virginia in there. When you're a 1-loss team and your only loss is to Kansas, you get in. So I want Tennessee in there. Then I think there's a little room for interpretation. I think that I'll go with the Zags only because when your only losses are to another 1 seed like Tennessee as well as the Heels, I want the Zags. But I would not lose sleep if somebody wanted to do a team that lost this week, which the Zags have not done, as there are a bunch of number 2 seeds who've lost this week.
Yeah, and I would have been a week ago making this Michigan over the Zags argument, of course, with their somewhat inexplicable loss at Penn State. I don't know that that's going to get me very far. But, Joby, let me ask you, what do you think of his 1 seeds? And
I could see, and this is weird for the Virginia guy to say, I could see Tennessee versus Virginia being the debate. Let's wait for Tennessee to play Kentucky this weekend. If Tennessee pulls off the win against Kentucky, I'd flip the 2. But I'm fine with – that is my order as we stand today because Virginia – went on the road to Chapel Hill less than 24 hours or 48 hours after playing Duke and getting that win, showing the resiliency. That's why I do agree with Titel for now, Virginia number 2, but Tennessee's looming. I mean, Tennessee can prove themselves this week against what I expect will be a 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah, and especially on the one line, the order is important here because it could determine which region you go to and the like. Salika, do you like that idea of that Virginia's number two overall, Tennessee number three overall? Would you make that flip?
I would have had Tennessee ahead of Virginia for the time being, but as it is, play time in the SEC is over for the Vols because the remainder of their schedule, even Vanderbilt, is going to be a little bit tougher compared to what they had in the first half of conference play. Kentucky twice, LSU on the road.
Yeah, it's close, Chad, but I think Gonzaga away from home, a one seed, that's really high. Louisville away from home, a likely protected seed. And then the win at – those are two really good wins, but it's close. And then the loss to Kansas, that was a full-strength Kansas team. That was a legitimate – one seed caliber Kansas team, and it was in overtime. So, but again, at North Carolina, I think Tennessee's a little bit ahead of them, but it probably doesn't matter because essentially they're all getting sent to the same spot, the same region. All that really it really means is that they meet the Final Four. Who's wearing white?
Well, the ironic thing is, all three would choose the Columbia. Subregion, and all three might choose the Washington D.C. East Regional as their choice, given location. So it actually is weird that Virginia or Tennessee, because I do think Duke's number one overall. Clearly,
oh my God, Bill Walton is wishing everyone happy Valentine's. Is anybody seeing
whoever loses out between Duke and Virginia at this point in time is going to be sent to a place that is not their preferred location, which is crazy.
And on top of that, we talk what region, the third place team there is going to be in the Midwest region as opposed to either the East or the South.
Which is better than the West. Right. And because you have the Zags.
Tennessee's going south, Virginia.
Yeah,
going.
I mean, I think whoever gets sent out to the Midwest is not going to be in pain because it's not a long flight. The West is different. The West.
Well,
it's a chartered flight.
I do want to keep things rolling here, and I kind of like this order here of Duke, Virginia, Tennessee, Gonzaga, just because I think what Virginia has done good at the top of the profile is slightly better than Tennessee. I know that the Gonzaga one's so good, but it was a shorthanded Gonzaga team, as David has pointed out several times. And Virginia, that win at North Carolina, it was a true road win. So I think we leave everything right where it is. That's my decision as an arbitrator. But David, I will give you the honor of taking the two line. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Let me delete the one line so I don't mistakenly put anyone on the two line. So this is hard to do with no arms. But I know that they just lost at home. I still have Kentucky 5 overall. And then Michigan State. Michigan, a case can be made, but because of what happened at Penn State, you normally don't see a two seed with a loss that bad on their profile, but Michigan still has so much good on it that I think they overcome that. And I still have the Heels up here at number 8 overall.
Salika, let me start with you. What do you think of his four teams? Would you agree with him, disagree with him?
I agree with the four teams, but I do think Kentucky's a little bit high as number 5 overall, even though the committee, I think that's where they had the Wildcats.
We don't care.
It would have helped had they been able to beat LSU at home, but they've certainly been fairly impressive in the SEC play, even though they did drop a manville on their foot against Alabama back in January. They'll certainly have a chance to correct their skid with a win against Tennessee, but that's far from a gimme.
Yeah, you can grade how well the actual committee does by matching it up with what I do, and the more it has that they have in common, the better job they did.
Tytel, what about you? What do you think of these four teams? If you look at the net column there, we have 8 of the top 9 net teams. Houston, the one team that's missing.
I love Houston.
I think I like this. I like all four of these teams on this two line, as I have them all as my quote-unquote locks for now. I might move Kentucky down a bit, like Jonas was saying, only because it's hard to say. Like, don't get me started on whether the offensive goaltending should have been reviewed or not. I know it can't be, but I like these as are, and we have a big show to do, so I'm happy to keep on rolling.
All right, Joby, I'm thinking about doing a one team swap here between Kentucky and Michigan State because it's kind of been.
I'd support Michigan State is all alone.
You're just doing this to annoy me.
Michigan State's all alone at the top of the Big Ten, which is a very good conference. That regular, I projected out right now as we stand, they're the regular season conference champs of an amazing conference. Kentucky is right now third in their conference.
If you don't think Nebraska is going to catch them, you're crazy.
They shouldn't have lost LSU, but I'm not here to just go nuts on it. But I would have Michigan State number five.
Okay.
So you don't think Nebraska is going to pass Michigan State?
Date. We're going to skip Davis.
I would say Houston will love here.
Joby, why don't I let you take a shot at the three line here?
Houston, number one. They probably should have replaced Michigan or Carolina on the two, in my opinion.
Okay.
But Houston, without a doubt. Then we go Marquette. This is where you place Kansas. The win over TCU, I think, keeps them here. Even with that, and then the debate, does LSU or Kansas State jump in here? I think because if we're going to say Kentucky's that good, I'm going to go with LSU right here, and that might be a reach, but I'll do it. They're number two. They're second in that conference, not Kentucky.
Salika, let me start with you. I know David wants to talk, so I'm not going to go to him. So, Salika, your thoughts on this?
I would agree on Houston and Marquette being up here. I actually might have taken a little bit of a reach and would have taken Kansas State ahead of Kansas as far as the three line here. I do have LSU as a protected seed, but I would have had them a seed line lower. I would have actually had the Boilers as my final number three.
All right, so Houston and Marquette are consensus so far. He would have gone with K-State and Purdue instead of Kansas and LSU. Tytel, your thoughts on that debate?
I think that when you beat Michigan State and Marquette and Tennessee, that Kansas has to be on this line. I could see them as a four, but I like them here as a three. I also like the boiler up with John S. They beat Maryland and Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan State. Like, how many more wins does Purdue need? I understand, like, they got blown out at Maryland, but, I mean, they've won a lot of games.
David, how about this Purdue over instead of LSU on this line here? And there's those two profiles on the screen.
I think they both belong on the line. When you look at – I like both of those teams, and you can see why right there. But if you pull Kansas and Kansas State up, K-State – beat Kansas. K-State is two games ahead of Kansas in the standings. Kansas only has two true road wins, and those losses, in not all of those have been tough. Like, they lost to West Virginia, and you also have to evaluate Kansas without Azubuike and keep in mind that he's no longer here. In my opinion, they're not the same team, and it's not that you ignore everything, but when you consider that a lot of that was done with him, and they haven't really done that much without him, the win at TCU was good, but was it so good that you put them over a team that beat them, that's two games ahead of them in the standings, and that also has, if you look at that, a lot of good wins of their own.
Yeah, well, David, I got to take issue with the way you said they only have two true road wins, which is the truth. Yes. However, you could also say of the same team that they have five wins away from home against quadrant one teams. So it depends on how you say it.
K-State has four.
Right, but
wins away from home.
But they're not against Tennessee and Michigan State, who are already in.
Right. They're against Oklahoma, who's going to be on the borderline here, a mid-tier Baylor team who's good, but mid-tier. And we'll see in Texas, who is going to be probably in our field, but probably wearing a dark jersey.
Yeah, those wins came when they had a different roster, though. Kansas has not been the same.
But let me do a quick –
I'm talking about Kansas State's They're good. And in Kansas State, if you –
Can we throw whiskey up there for under consideration as well?
Okay. I want to keep things rolling here, but I want to do is do a quick roll call vote between all four of you on the question of Kansas or Kansas State. Quickly, Stalika.
I'll take K-State.
David.
Do you even have to ask?
Okay, forget it. Joby.
Well, Kansas, obvious.
And Tytel.
Look at the metric. Rock chalk.
All right. Well, you guys didn't solve anything for me because you split that vote 2-2. At the end of the day, I'm going to agree with to leave rock chalk up there.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to put I'm going to bounce Purdue instead of LSU. I think that was a solid argument that was made in favor of the Boilers, just slightly ahead of LSU. And David,
you have Kansas as a protected seed.
And I would agree with you had they not proven something to me the other night in that TCU game. And I think
ironically, Chad, you went with the J&G pick instead of the J&G creators pick. Purdue is ahead of LSU.
Stalika, let me let you take the four line and finish off our protected seeds. We do have three teams under consideration. You can take them or go somewhere else.
Oh, I think we have to take both Kansas State and LSU right here. And then here it becomes a little bit interesting. I'm still high on Nevada right here. And
thank you.
I will also give Villanova a slight edge over Louisville and Wisconsin as well.
Yeah, about Villanova, they're ahead of Marquette in the standings. Their only loss was at Marquette, which is not exactly a neutral floor, by one. I think that I like Nova more than Marquette.
Well, Dave, we already have Marquette in a line higher, but you wanted to bring up Wisconsin before we got to Nova. So, do you think Wisconsin's better than Nova also?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you want to make that argument?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think that one of the bigger things is it's close, but overall, they have a few more road wins. I like the win at Iowa a lot. The win at Mini and It's pretty close.
Do you like the loss at Marquette?
The ultimate tipping point for me, Chad, all kidding aside, is that I just think they've beaten more teams that are solidly in the field.
Okay. I mean, they do have a two-game losing streak, but it was Michigan and Michigan State, so I'm not going to fault them for that.
They also lost to Marquette at Marquette by.
Yeah. You like the win at Mini. They lost at home to Mini. That kind of balances that out a little bit there, too.
Yeah,
that's the road exchange, home road exchange program.
I like Villanova a lot, but not to downplay those wins. They're good wins. Butler, Creighton, Providence, not easy. I just think Iowa, Nebraska, and Mini are slightly better.
He actually makes some pretty good arguments. Joby, your thoughts on that argument?
I'm probably there to a degree, except Villanova's playing better now. Plus, Villanova is leading, and this is a legitimate argument that David made in regards to Marquette, but Villanova is leading the Big East. They're one of three teams above 500 of that conference, as we've discussed on Monday. But I think I'm going to still stick with Villanova, but I can see the Wisconsin – argument without a doubt.
Well, Tytel, let me throw that over to you guys, and that both that Nova Wisconsin argument and really the entire four team pick here by Stalika, you know, do you agree with that it's Nova? Do you want to go whiskey? You want to go somewhere else?
I think that a good argument can be made, and it's a coin flip, and any team that loses to Penn this year should not make it, so I would go with whiskey.
And I'm kind of with you and with David on this. I think you still have to punish Villanova at some point for what they did early this season, no matter how well they are playing right now.
Wisconsin lost to Western Kentucky, let's be honest.
Yeah, but Villanova lost to Furman and Penn.
But Furman might find their way into our field. I'm just putting that out.
They might, but it's still not a lot. How about they lost badly, and how about the way they played against Michigan? I mean, really.
Yeah. But anyway, I had three of those four
teams. They played like North Carolina, Chad. Just saying.
I think we have our protected seeds on that note then, but let me circle Tytel back around to you for the five line.
So let's get the Wildcats in here, because we got to get some Wildcats, because God knows mine aren't coming anytime soon. If I can put in Louisville pre-choking, I'd love to do that. I think I'm still going to have them here for the metrics and the fact that, like, I still can't believe they lost. It's insane. I think we need to get some Big 12 teams in here because Big 10 is right there, but I think the Big 12 is going to be a little better. I want to get Iowa State in here because they've beaten Kansas, and I think I want to get Texas Tech in here for the whole body of work. I would not lose any sleep if you want to get an ACC or Big 10 team because both of those conferences have plenty of teams around this line, but I'll stick with those four.
Joby, let you have the first shot at this line.
Do you agree? I'm not as high. I know the committee is, but I'm not as high on Iowa State. They're definitely five or six, but I would go Maryland after last night. It was a nice win. Maryland has really, Maryland's. I'm yin and yang with Maryland. You'll hear me rag on Maryland, and you'll hear me tout Maryland left and right, but they had the nice home win last night, but you combine it with some good road wins, as you can see from their profile. Illinois. But Illinois proved they do it to everybody.
Illinois is one of the hottest teams in the country right now.
I know. I mean, so I'm a little more on the Maryland bandwagon, but it's not an offense that is criminal.
Chad, I'd like to name a team.
Name a team.
And I kind of went back and forth between all of these, and it was circular, and I eventually settled on this team. I at least want to look at them, Florida State.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'm going to take Maryland off of there. I'm going to leave Iowa State on just for a second to compare them. I do like that Maryland argument already, but what about Florida State here?
As soon as it loads.
There it is right there. You know, with, again, they just as Maryland did, they beat Purdue, but they've also got the LSU, the Louisville wins.
Yeah. And those are the one, like, those three I like. I know that two of them were at home, but LSU on a neutral floor and at Syracuse, which can be kind of tricky, I like them a little bit more than – I like Iowa State more than both of them, but I had Florida State ahead of Maryland.
Right, and well, Stalico, how about that? And I also put up that Texas Tech team over there that was mentioned that really is nothing against it, no top 25 wins, and at this level you look at compared to Florida State, who's got three top 25 wins.
I think Texas Tech has the talent, but not quite the paper to match up with that yet. But I would have actually taken Iowa ahead of a team like Texas Tech or even a Maryland for now. Hawkeyes have quietly been pretty hot themselves.
All right, we are now getting a lot of teams thrown at us here. And there's that Iowa profile on the right. Michigan and Iowa State, two teams we just mentioned.
Not enough on the road for me. I mean, they haven't beaten other teams have beaten better teams in true road games. I have Iowa high, but not this high.
Well, Florida State, Maryland, and Iowa are the three teams that I've mentioned. I'm not certain that I'm going to put Iowa in here. I can see bouncing one of these teams, either Iowa State or Texas Tech, down the line. Let me run through. Joby, who would you bounce down between Iowa State or Texas Tech?
Iowa State, and maybe my eye test is
Good Lord.
Maybe my eye test is just so much, but I love how Texas Tech. Okay.
David, would you bounce Iowa State down between those two or Texas Tech?
No, Texas Tech. I actually like Iowa State more than anybody else on the line. And, it's Texas Tech. Look at them next to each other.
Right. Well, Tytel, these were your picks. Iowa State, Texas Tech, you want to defend these two teams?
I'd love to. If you look at Texas Tech, Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4 losses look pretty barren to me. And with the hard schedule remaining, assuming they don't lose to Oklahoma State,
they're going to have a whole
season without a Tier 2, 3, or 4 loss. And Iowa State, if you lose to Arizona this year, you deserve to get knocked down. So if somebody wants to take them out, I get it.
Well, I mean, when you look at Iowa State, you'll notice that one of their wins was at Texas Tech.
All right. Sleeka, you want to have a final word on this? I think I'm about ready to make a call, but
if I had to choose between one of those two, I would probably knock Texas Tech down and then bring either Florida State or Maryland up.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do here, Tytel. I respect your picks all the time, and I'm actually, and I I don't know if you've ever done this to you, but I'm going to bounce two of your teams down a line.
What's the pearls?
Well, wait, you're moving Iowa State down? What the hell Texas is wrong Tech, with you?
And we're going to put Maryland
Iowa
and Florida State.
Iowa State should be a protected seat.
Maryland and Florida State, I like the arguments for both those teams. I like the way they're playing. I like the fact that they've beaten Purdue. But I think it's a real close call here with all four of these teams.
Our traffic is now zero. Everyone has turned us off. Well, nice
David,
going.
David, now. You have to take Iowa State, Texas Tech on the sixth leg. Give me two other teams to join them.
Okay, we've got, let me see.
Only team under consideration.
Nova, Iowa State, Louisville, all these teams are in. I've not been deleting as I go along. I think my next two are Virginia Tech and Iowa. Right, or is Maryland in yet? Yeah, Maryland's in.
Virginia Tech and Iowa.
Oh, wait. I didn't realize we didn't have Nebraska in.
Stalika, would you like to comment on Virginia Tech and Iowa? I know you liked Iowa here, actually, but how about Virginia Tech? Do you think they belong there?
I would agree with Virginia Tech in here primarily because I'm not prepared to move a team like Baylor, Syracuse, or even Washington up to the sixth line yet.
I just cringe when you mention that that's going to be the next group of teams we're discussing. I really just cringe. Tell us, is he right? Have we just kind of hit a line here for the sixth line? Is this it? And these are the top 24 teams?
I mean, yeah, I think that you can start to look at some SEC teams who are almost Baylor and Syracuse-esque, and if you love Cincinnati, you can discuss them here. If you love Buffalo, you can discuss them. But I think this is pretty solid.
Yeah, and Joby, you agree also?
I actually agree with David's four, without a doubt, or the two that after he was forced to take. Well,
I don't agree with my four either. I think Iowa State should be much higher.
I agree with all four of those.
Once I started mentioning alternatives, that's why everyone is agreeing.
I mean, it's gross. But it is what it is.
Well, Joby, I'll tell you what. Why don't you start the second? Well, this is the bad column. So go ahead.
I mean, this is where the drop off happens. All right, I'm going to make people cringe to cringe worthiness.
We all did it.
Yeah.
Let's
all travel to Jackson, Mississippi, and have the neutral court battle between two of my next teams. Egg Bowl, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, both making it. Let's see. I agree with Titel, Cincinnati. And I'm really torn on a Baylor TCU here. Because TCU couldn't hold the home court against Kansas, I will go with Baylor, but I am 100% open to debate.
Okay. I want to go vomit a little bit. And, David, your thoughts on these four teams?
Well, a team that I like that wasn't mentioned, and I know that they have their warts and they don't always bring it, but the Johnnies have the two wins against Marquette, who is a protected seed. I don't like them as much as you all do, but, I mean, as much as you like Marquette, which is more than I do, don't you have to like St. John's a little bit?
Here's my problem with St. John's right here. Yes, they have the two wins against Marquette, but when you're also losing at home to teams like Georgetown, Providence, they still haven't played Xavier yet, which is also a dangerous team for them. And yes, as Joby pointed out, they did lose to the Blue Demons at home, albeit with an injury issue.
Well, what about that, Titel? Do we go? Should we put St. John's in mention, or should we go with these four teams here, or somebody else?
I was at the St. John's Georgetown game where they had to like get lucky just to beat the Hoyas, albeit on the road. I like the Egg Bowl here. I like Cincinnati here, even though they just almost beat Houston but couldn't get it done. Baylor TCU seems like a coin flip, so I would not put the Johnnies here if you want TCU over Baylor. I could co-sign that. If not, I think it's fine as is.
I'm a little surprised that you didn't bring out one of the darlings here, Joby.
Wofford?
No, I don't have Wofford this high, but I don't have Buffalo this high either, but I could have sworn you would have.
I think Wofford and Buffalo are the same. I will demand they're on the same line when we get to them.
Well, David, Baylor-TCU debate, Baylor more in the good, but those two really ugly home losses, TCU.
Yeah, and again, it's I go back and forth with this. I tend to lean more toward the good, a schizophrenic good than a blah, not lacking bat. I can't even talk. I tend to lean more towards a schizophrenic good than a blah with very little bad. But that's just me. Like, TCU does have the best overall win, in my opinion. So an argument could be made to put them up here. I would have liked them a lot more had they held on to beat Kansas at home. They didn't. If you're asking me to pick between the two, it's Baylor. But, again, Baylor's bad is worse. And TCU, while not as much good, the one piece of good they have is better than any piece of good that Baylor has. So it's close.
Chad, the one component is Mekhi Mason. It was not there for those bye games that they lost. This is just as we talk about Kansas being a different team. I do think Baylor, at the exact same time that Kansas had their injury issues, Baylor had a resurgence. I do give credit and to Baylor making that comeback, and their Big 12 record is the best indicator of that.
I think Mason actually did play in one of those two bye games. I'd have to double check on that, although he was not at 100%. But that being said, I'm going to go ahead and leave this. I just don't think it's worth too much of a debate between a 7 and an 8 seed. And I assume that TCU is going to be on the 8 line when Salika gives it to me right now.
I wouldn't make that assumption. Not when I'd already teased three of my teams as being Buffalo, Washington, and Syracuse. But this is where I would have the Johnnies right here.
So you would not have TCU here?
Nope, not yet.
All right. Well, I know they're going to come in and so let me run through. Let me start with you. Should more than one of these teams go down, or just one of them to put up TCU?
Look at the metrics. The Johnnies cannot be ahead of TCU.
Right.
And I like Buffalo here. I think the Pac-12 should be punished from start to finish, even if this is the only Pac-12 team we have in there. And Schizocue is like the Duke win is going to carry the day for them, it seems like.
Okay, so you would knock St. John's down, bring TCU in.
Please.
Okay. Joby?
How many teams has Washington beaten that are worth a damn?
Not many.
I'm dead serious. This is I know this is – just as David harps on road wins, I harp on – who have you beaten who's in this field? There is not one that we will even talk about on the bubble unless you pull Oregon out. The fact of the matter is Washington hasn't done it. They haven't done jack. You got to prove that you can beat the teams that you will play in March. At least Buffalo has beaten another team that was named on this field, even if I think they are way too high here. Sorry. Washington, there is no place for this. Okay. I'm with Tytel.
Is there another team you would pull up here then? Because if we're going to knock Washington and St. John's down, I only have one team.
Yeah, I like St. John's here.
You would leave St. John's.
I do like St. John's okay. Here. But I'll go with, TCU. We haven't even said TCU. That's right. Crazy.
Okay, so
I think TCU needs to be here.
I agree. TCU is coming in here. David, is it Washington or is it St. John's? I pull off. Is it somebody else?
Washington. I had the Johnnies on the 7 line actually.
Okay, I am going to make that move on. Drop Washington. I've been talked out of them. TCU coming in there on the 8 line. Otherwise, the other three picks held up. Salika, I'm a little surprised, but let me swing it back to Tytel now for the 9 line.
They played Buffalo. So
get ready to hold your nose, everybody. I can get the Huskies in here without losing too much sleep about it. I will lose sleep about getting Auburn in here, but the fact is they have some nice little metrics. I know.
Auburn, no.
Okay, go ahead. It's his line.
Thank you. When you beat Kansas and North Carolina, even though you have a ton of other losses, I want to get Texas in here. And the Buckeyes are not getting in here, I assure you. But I think that if we have to get somebody in here, we are really scraping the barrel here.
Ricky Pepino.
Let's get Wofford in here just to check out their metric.
All right. Wofford's actually a pretty nice. I like kind of like putting the Wofford on the nine line. It's kind of a safe pick almost. But, David, let me let you start. Okay. I know you want to address the Auburn Tigers. I'm going to pull their profile up while you start.
Yes. Well, I actually agree with three of the four. Because he got three of the four right, we'll give him a 25% because the one he missed by a million miles. Okay, here's a team that I don't have in the field, but I'd like you to pull up UNC Greensboro and put them next to Auburn and explain to me which one is more accomplished, and if Auburn is this high, then why shouldn't Greensboro be this high as well?
Well, Tytel, you want to respond to that? Why not Greensboro instead of Auburn?
Sure. Where to begin? Number one, I know Auburn is a bit of a home court hero, and they should get docked for that. The non-conference strength of schedule is heavily in Auburn's favor. The top 30, not to mention top 70 win is strongly in Auburn's favor. I understand that a loss at South Carolina is not great, but the Gamecocks are actually playing decent, and they have a bunch of Tier 1 losses, as does Greensboro. If Greensboro can beat a couple of these SoCon teams, I would not lose sleep about it, but I think as of today, I'm going Auburn.
Okay, let's look at Auburn's top 70 wins. What's Florida's road record? What's Alabama's road record? I mean, a lot of these wins are not hard games to win because while they're ranked that high, these teams aren't very good on the road.
David, you made a mistake. You went with the wrong SoCon team. Furman is a lot better of an argument here. They won at Villanova. I wanted it to be interesting.
Furman isn't – if Furman just blows it away, it's not. I wanted it to be an interesting debate.
Okay, Stalika, what do you think of these teams? Would you knock Auburn down? Would you knock somebody else down? And if so, who would you bring up?
I would knock Auburn down, but it's probably going to pain me to say this that they should be up here. I can't even say Lipscomb because they lost to Liberty.
Right.
I have to go with the Gophers here as a team to knock down in favor of Auburn.
That one's well, Joby, what about that? Maybe it's
Minnesota. I agree, Minnesota. That's why I was whispering Ricky Pitino. Mm-hmm. I agree 100% with Stalika on this. They should be even a line higher, but Minnesota, this is a perfect spot.
I mean, they beat Washington as well on a neutral instead of at home, and they won at Wisconsin, and they beat Iowa. Sorry, Tytel. I know Auburn
Illinois
has the metrics.
Everybody. Okay. Illinois is getting to the point that if you lost to them, you're getting a pass. I know that sounds funny, but it's true.
I'm going to put Minnesota in here. I'm going to drop Auburn down somewhere. We'll find out how far they fall because I know that David is up next, and I don't think Auburn's coming in on his 10 line at least.
No, we got Wofford in Texas in the field. Okay, These are my teams, and I also think they are teams that would all be favored to beat Auburn on a neutral floor. They lost tonight, but if we're giving teams a pass, why not Ohio State with some of their big road wins away from home?
Okay. That's a fair pick, I think.
We like TCU. Lipscomb won at TCU. I know that they're a little bit flimsy when it comes to the amount of quality wins, but I think that there's enough indicators in there to have them this high. This one's going to sound crazy. They've won three of their last four. I know that they really hit a skid. I have Seton Hall up here.
That's good.
Yeah. And a team I really like, if I don't like their paper that much, but it's certainly better than Auburn, I still have Belmont this high because they're the only team that's won at Murray State. They've won three road games at Lipscomb, and they won another road game against a team that hasn't lost at home other than them. And I'm just really impressed with a team that goes out and wins three games at a place that hasn't lost to anybody but them.
All right. Well, this is the 50% Nashville line here. Stalika, what do you think about throwing Ohio State, Seton Hall, and these two under-the-radar programs here, Lipscomb and Belmont, in the top on the 10 line?
I certainly don't have a problem with Ohio State, Seton Hall, and Belmont on here, but honestly, I don't know how much more of a pass I can keep giving Lipscomb here because they really needed to beat Liberty to stay this high above the bubble because with that loss, I think that's right about where they should be.
Can I say this? If you watched them last night, they looked bad, and it was a really unimpressive, disappointing showing that if that were the only game you had seen, I could understand it. But they'd won 19 in a row before that, and they were cruising. But to be fair, they looked bad last night. They came apart at home.
But if we're going to look for teams that I would replace Lipscomb with, let me put Auburn and Alabama head-to-head.
But the one thing I don't want – they did win at TCU, and nobody other than Kansas has done that.
Okay. Well, let's – I want to get a few other opinions on these teams here. First of all, Tytel, can you address this idea of putting Lipscomb and Belmont not only in but in on the 10 line?
I don't think that I like Nashville hot chicken enough to get both these teams
here. It's good chicken. It is good chicken.
No, they're very similar profiles in terms of not home court heroes. They win on the road. They don't play neutral games. Obviously, Lipscomb played much more against the board, but I like Stalika's point. Like, when you're losing the Liberty, I understand it's a tier two loss, but it's a tough one.
Okay. So would you go – you'd probably go Auburn. Would you go Auburn and Alabama, or would you go someone else here?
I would definitely go Auburn, and Alabama's metrics seem fine. I suppose if you need to discuss NC State, because I'm not going to discuss Oklahoma here, we could talk about them, but the strength of schedule is going to poke me in the eye right about
now. Oklahoma is not even on – Oklahoma
shows how good the ACC is. For NC State's overall strength of schedule to be 173. Because we all know that the out-of-conference is 352.
Well,
Division One, 353.
Joby, they did pick up the win over Syracuse, though. Yeah. So that stopped some of the bleeding. It was a decent win. Where would you go? Would you put these two Nashville schools in? Would you go with the Alabama schools? Would you go NC State? Would you go somewhere else?
Yeah, and you know, hey, Belmont, for instance, went to UCLA and won, which doesn't sound like a big deal this year, but that's
it isn't
from Nashville traveling to do it. And so that's and UCLA won last night against Cal in overtime. I think it might be a line too high. I would go with the Iron Bowl replacement.
How about anybody else?
Alabama, Arizona has really bad tier three. I get it, but they have some. They beat Kentucky, and we all think Kentucky's really good and deserving of either a 5 or 6 overall.
Chad, let's put New Mexico State next to Auburn, another team that's just clearly better than
David.
Auburn.
David, don't worry. I'm not putting Auburn in on this line. I am going to bounce Lipscomb out. I'm going to replace them with Alabama. I think that is the correct move. I'm going to go ahead and give you half a piece of hot chicken here with Belmont. At least they didn't lose badly to Liberty last night. And they actually struggled with Tennessee State tonight, but they did win the game, so they won. But on that note, Joby, I want to let you throw up the next four teams here. I literally mean throw up the next four teams.
Oh, my gosh, this is tough.
Hey, we got eight more at large.
I'm going to cheat and go with at least Auburn and Lipscomb here.
Okay.
They're the only team. Name me a team who has a reasonable resume, who has defeated a team with only one loss. That is your Temple Owls.
Well, I know who it isn't. One of the teams you already named.
Now the question is, what do we do with NC State? And you know what? Gosh.
Did you do it?
Clemson hadn't just barfed all over themselves in Miami. Against Miami, not even at. Let's go with NC State, sure. But I can be convinced out of that last one very easy because I do find that 352 strength of schedule gross, but at least they beat a fellow 11 seed.
But I think we also have some other suspension issues because NC State, I think, had dismissed one player from the team and suspended another. So we're going to have to watch and see how they do going forward because I don't know when that other guy that's been suspended, when or even if he's coming back this year.
David, real quickly, here's Auburn versus New Mexico State. It's no contest. Auburn's a better profile, so I could. So let's move on from that.
But New Mexico State lost to the team of the people from last year. That's a pass.
Yeah, that's a pass. That's a pass.
If you combine quadrants 1 and 2 victories, Auburn is destroying New Mexico State. Neither one has beaten anybody that's in the field. Let's not have this debate. I'm going to leave Auburn here on the 10 on the 11 line. I don't like it, but there's nobody else to put in at this point.
Oh, there's plenty of teams to put. There's VCU.
What I will go to
Arizona State.
Let me start with Stalika on comments on the other three here: Lipscomb, Temple, NC State. Would you go with that? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree?
Lipscomb and Auburn, I would agree with. Temple, I originally would have had as a first four team, but when teams like Arizona State and Clemson also dropping anvils and other sharp objects on their feet, I can't put them ahead of the Owls right now. And I think NC State, I think with wins against Auburn and Syracuse, granted they were at home, they're barely going to be getting by, but they'd better get a lot more wins of significance if they're going to remain in this field come March. So I'm not liking it. I'm going to have to take a shower after the podcast, but I would leave NC State here.
Okay. Tytel, would you then agree with this line also?
Yes, but to emphasize it, David, there's no way Arizona State is making the 11 line this month. This month they've lost to Washington State and Colorado, for God's sake.
Well, you know, it's been a bad month.
You're biased, Tytel. It's that wild.
Am I wrong?
Well, let's go ahead and we're down to what's going to be the final line here that we're going to be discussing on this show here. There's 5 at-large spots left. There's 6 spots available, up to 6 spots available on this 12 line. Stalika, since you're up next, why don't you give me half line? Why don't you give me 3 of these and we'll split them up that way?
Well, as Tytel pointed out, I might have given Arizona State a bit of a pass for the Washington State screw-up, but this was not the time to be losing at Colorado. So, again, Sun Devils, you're gone. VCU and Clemson, I could probably forgive the loss at Miami a little bit just because they at least have a win against Virginia Tech to hang their hat on for now. So,
VCU, Clemson, and one more.
This third team.
You could say pass if you want. At this point, I wouldn't really blame you.
Here's where I'm probably am going to make you people cringe. How about Hoya Saxa, Georgetown?
I had them pretty far down.
Georgetown. All right, let's just put them over here for a second.
The loss kills me.
Which one?
The loss they just had, just when they started playing good, they lose another game. But let me run through. Let's go ahead and, you know what? Let's run through and try to get a couple other teams up here before we start debating this line. Tytel, do you have 2 more teams we could possibly put on this line?
I think I want to put UCF here just because we're running out of teams. And due to John Morant's great game tonight, like just happened, let's throw Murray State's profile up here.
Wow. All right, wow. Murray State.
They haven't won yet.
they are up 4 as we record this. David, you want to give me one? You and Joe Beach could be one more team to finish out this 12 line, and then we can start debating.
Okay,
Furman. I get to say Furman first.
Well, actually, close. Had they won the night, which they didn't, I would have said Greensboro. I don't think losing at Furman hurts, but it didn't help either, and Greensboro needed some help because it was a stretch anyway. I'm gonna go with a team that's playing well, but that is very blah, that made my field last time. What about Utah State? And the best thing I can say for them is that at least they're winning, and at least they're winning away from home instead of just winning at home against teams with losing records on the road.
All right, so we now have a 12 line that consists of VCU, who would be our automatic bid winner out of the A-10. So they're not going to go anywhere. Clemson, who would avoid the first 4. And then first 4 matchups of UCF versus Murray State, Utah State versus Furman, the NCAA cringing that they get 0 ratings for the first 4 games. Let me run through each of you on this, on the bounce of those 5, if anybody, and who you'd put in to replace them. So, Sleek, let me start with you. I know you'd want Georgetown in there, but anybody else you'd bounce out? Anyone else want in?
Well, if we're talking about other teams that might be a reach that we would consider, what about the Toledo Rockets? I mean, granted, they do have a huge one coming up tomorrow night, but I think a second team from the MAC is also worthy of a look, especially if we're giving teams from the SoCon and Ohio Valley some love.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, can we put Princeton in here too, and Yale, and half the Ivy League, and Titel? I mean, is this what we're left with now? That was Toledo at Georgetown, Utah State, Furman?
I don't understand this Hoya paranoia. Like, they've lost every game this month except one. They lost at home to Butler. I know because I was there.
Well, I didn't put them in. You're not going to talk me into putting Georgetown in this field. I'm with you on that one. But what about these other 16?
I'm telling you, you talk about no ratings. If you don't want to see Ja Morant going and dunking on Taco Fall, I mean, that's quality television.
Actually, that would be a fun game.
Nah.
It's not going to get the national love of the non-Pen.
The realistic people you're looking at, Chad, here, and I'm not saying definitely replace, the teams that are in the discussion, realistically, are Oklahoma, Indiana, Arizona State, with the aforementioned Arizona State. Those are the type of teams we're talking about here, realistically.
What about Butler?
You take these teams, they're so bad in their conference, or 500 in a bad conference. You know, that's what we're talking about.
If Murray State pulls this out, I'll be able to gag on them, but at least I'll be able to get them down. If they don't win this, and we are down to the last position at the time we're recording this, I just can't put them in. I think they only have three wins, the last I counted, against teams with winning D1 records. I don't even know. I like Belmont. I don't even know if I like them as much as Jacksonville State.
Well, David, if we are pulling a Murray State out or somebody else out of that group, Arizona State's the team you put in?
Yeah.
Over Murray?
Over everybody.
Okay. Well, let's take a look. Titel, I got to let you talk about Arizona State. Are they still, despite the Colorado and the Washington State losses, that close to the field?
Beating Kansas counts for a lot. I get that. But I would rather take a team that beat Marquette and won at Michigan State. Hoosiers.
And Joby, how about that? Isn't that a better argument? Maybe Indiana's the team we put in here.
You can't ignore the fact that in both teams beat Washington. I like the Mississippi State. I'm always a big believer, as David said, go with someone's good over bad, and that awful conference record for Indiana. I mean, it's a
categorical awful disqualifier.
They've also lost nine out of their last ten.
I would take both these teams over Murray State, but I think I would go with the Sun Devils, and it really hurts me because if Chad, you decide Indiana, you're not hurting my feelings.
We need to cheer for a team like Illinois.
Take both over Utah State. Utah's bid. Bereft. Their resume's bereft. I'd take Indiana and Arizona State over Murray State and Utah State. That's how I do it.
Well, let's take a look at that Utah State profile real quick. And Titel, let me ask you about them. Is Utah State a team that we should be putting in here, or should we have the Indianas of the world?
Keep the check on Murray
we
State.
We are tied.
Nothing.
Game here, but no, I think Utah State, a win over St. Mary's, even by double digits, is not going to get it done this year. So,
okay.
Hoosiers.
Well, I think I've made a decision. I think I'm going to do a two-team swap here. I think we are going to take both Murray and Utah State both out. I think we will go with Indiana in here. I think we'll go with Arizona State in here. And this is just disgusting. I hate doing this, especially because Murray State actually just won a game because I think that shot did not beat the buzzer, but really struggled with Austin Peay tonight, at least.
Let's see. Did it?
It did not.
No, I think it did.
It's in his hand.
Yep.
That's not going to count.
And this is great for everyone watching this tomorrow. You know, seeing us talk about live game is just great.
Yeah,
But just as an update, it looks like Murray State just did survive against Austin Peay. They're probably my top team out among this group here. But I think we kind of have a field. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal the rest of the field real quickly here. I already predetermined. I picked these teams before we started the show tonight. This is we do love these teams a lot. We have an Under the Radar podcast we recorded last night where we discussed most of them. But let's see if Penn made this group here.
Come on, Penn.
Nope, it was Yale. Actually, at the top of it, UC Irvine, New Mexico State, Hofstra. All the way down to Northern Kentucky, South Dakota State, Loyola, Chicago, Final Four last year, 15 seed this year, all the way down to SFPA, Norfolk State, and Monmouth at the bottom there. But on that note, I am going to go ahead and get this bracketed. So if you look down below our podcast, you'll see the final bracket of this. And what I want to do is run through each of you. I'll leave this on the screen here, but I'll run through each of you for any other final thoughts on what we did tonight.
Can we do one more little bit of a segment here before we get to final thoughts, Chad? Can we ask our selection committee guessing expert what he thinks this is compared to what the real committee would do? I always like asking them that.
I think it's a pretty great bracket. I think that we all did a great job. Not that I don't enjoy patting ourselves on the back. What caught my eye, I'll give away my final thought now as we make the full segue, is that so they came out with the top 16 teams in the bracket reveal over the weekend, and since then, half of those teams have lost. Two others have won by 1 or 2 points, including Duke's miraculous victory, and Kansas had to win in overtime with, like, their B team because the A team was either injured or fouled out of that game. So it's a nice exercise, but it's meaningless because, like, in 72 hours, half the teams lost.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because a couple teams that I think are going to be merit a ton of attention these next few weeks include that Kansas team, because how well they do play, how much momentum they get off of that win. Was that a fluke win? Was that bad? And then, of course, there's bubble teams like Indiana and Arizona State. I don't have any confidence they stay there, but we could be looking at multiple teams like Murray State and Utah State and Furman's and the like getting in just because there's no other spots left.
What's interesting, Chad, and I get – well, I'll go ahead and this could segue into final thoughts because my thought –
We already did, so you're off for final thoughts, David.
That's fine. But it's more – I normally go last, but it's more relevant to the discussion we're having now. The last 2 or 3 years, the committee has seemed to not – favor the under-the-radar teams. Most notably, 2 years ago, you had a Middle Tennessee team that I think won 4 games against teams that were a combined 89-10 at home, won the conference tournament, and when it came out, they were not inside the bubble. Loyola, and
you had Monmouth that same year.
Yeah, Monmouth was left out. So they tend to, in the past, they tend to favor teams that win against teams in the field, even if they're beating them at home, and even if those teams have losing records on the road. Some of those teams got credit for beating teams at home that were 2-10 on the road. But we were told by, I mean, if you listen to that podcast way back in August or September, whenever it was, that they were going to be keeping more of an eye out for that. And when you see Nevada and Houston selected as protected seeds, it leads me to think that maybe they are, because those teams don't have the heavyweight wins, but what they do have is a lot of wins away from home and in games that were tough to win. Even if the teams they played weren't as good, the games that they played and the circumstances of those games were hard. So maybe you will see more under the radar teams on the 10 and 11 line.
I hope my final thought. I hope we do, and maybe it starts changing the way that we predict brackets in the future, that we start giving a lot more credit to these teams that won a lot of games, even if they didn't get the huge high quality name brand wins. Stalika, let me let you go next.
I think a chasm is another word that we're going to be using quite frequently here, because there is a huge drop off between the 2 line and the 3 line this year. I would also say there was a huge drop off between the 6 and the 7 line. And I could even argue that between 9 and 10 this year, because I feel fairly confident that everyone in the top 36 are what we like to call first ballot teams, more likely than not to end up in the field. But you look at 10 and below, I'm starting to wonder.
I think that's a great point. I think you nailed exactly where the cutoffs are. That 6-7 is
teams that are competitive versus garbage, and that 9-10 is teams that are in versus God knows what. Joby, let me let you finish.
Yeah, off no, and I think David's points made on the under the radar conferences is extremely relevant because this year, if you just look at raw data points comparing year to year, the J&G is what I'll look at, but you can do other things like KenPom, et cetera, on raw ability data points. The bubble is worse. We always complain about the bubble, but this year, last year we were purposely saying, hey, let's stop complaining. This is actually a decent bubble. This year is one of the worst I've ever seen, but it could be helped because of all these under-the-radar teams. If Lipscomb runs the table, Belmont runs the table, VCU runs the table, all these teams run the table, but then lose in their conference tournament, I think they're still getting bids for the most part. And that will in itself help the bubble, because then we're not talking about Arizona State and Indiana, because they're on the outside, because all of a sudden a team like Davidson, who wins the A-10 conference tournament, is that team on the 12 line along with VCU in the tournament. And so the conference tournaments on those under the radar leagues might mean more than they have in recent history.
That's another great point here. And I think this is a real interesting exercise. And I think it's, I don't ever remember, I remember us screaming about the bubble in past years, but I don't remember us actually not even be able to find teams to discuss on the bubble, which is kind of where we were tonight. It was like pulling straws to find, oh, well, let's talk about Indiana or Oklahoma or Utah State. And so it's crazy. It's going to be a neat last few weeks here coming up. But I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of Joby Fortson, John Stalica, David Griggs, John Titel, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again with more podcasts next week and lots more content on the website. And we'll talk to you again real soon.